All right, it is a Friday. Miguel and Holly Uncensored, the Corncast. And we wanted to kick off the show with a very special friend, Jacob Two Times. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Miguel and Holly. Holly, listen. So can you catch me up on something? Because I think I might have missed this. Well, you see, Holly, this was when I was just getting up at 6 a.m., right? And you guys were talking about the big moon or the pink moon or something like that.
Yeah.
Explain what you mean, Holly.
Well, it's just basically a full moon that happens to be at the right place, right time. And it's, it's called a super moon. And you can see it from just about anywhere. And it always looks a little bit bigger than what you would expect. So if you happened to wonder what that is about, everyone was able to kind of get a little bit of a taste of a little extra light in the night because of the super moon.
You are so sweet, Holly. And Holly and Miguel, I love you so very much. And guess what?
What?
I give you and Sky the body, the number one morning show on the radio ever. And you guys are the number one station ever. You know that? To me, you are.
Yeah!
Woo! Thank you, Jacob!
And you are our number one, Jacob. We love you. Thank you for helping us kick off the podcast.
And I love you from here to the moon, Holly. That's how much I love you, Holly.
Oh, thank you, Jacob. I love you, too.
Your life has changed.
We want to be there for you.
Miguel, Holly, and Scotty are unscripted, uncouth, and still very mature. Now, daily.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored. Corncast Edition from Hot 101.5.
Made hot by Corona Beer.
Well, hello there. It is a Friday that we're recording this. Friday, April 10th, year of our Lord, 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My name is Miguel Fuller.
I'm Holly O'Connor.
I'm Scotty.
And before we get to some seriousness, because Holly, one of your friends has been affected by COVID-19.
That's right. She currently has it.
Oof.
And we were waiting to talk to her because she was on a Zoom call with her doctor.
Wow. Now, does she live here in Tampa Bay or is she in Ohio?
No, she's actually in Indiana.
Oh, okay. You went to high school or college together?
College. She was in my sorority.
Oh, so she can tell us some stories about...
Oh, well, we're not going there.
No?
No.
We don't want to start off the interview with her with some college stories?
I mean, if you want to. Mm-hmm. I don't know how well she's feeling. She might not be able to.
Yeah, she doesn't have things.
She's like, I ain't got time to talk about crazy-ass Holly from back in the day.
She probably actually does not. She's like, I just want to tell you what I'm feeling and then go lay down. But
we'll talk to her in just a second. But we always say that you can contact us on the open mic on the Hot app.
Yes, you download the free Hot 101.5 app in your app store, whatever it is, and then it's super great because with the app, you can listen to the podcast, obviously. You can listen to the replay of the show, minus the music. You can listen to any segments individually, and the cool thing about the open mic part of the app is you click on it, and then you send in your take.
Mm-hmm.
So think of it as like your memo, voice memo on your phone.
Oh.
You press it, and you're like, hey. Blah, 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 blah. This is what I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I got to. Bye, platypus. And then you send it to us, and then we will play it here on the Corncast.
Like we have another one today.
Hey, guys, it's Naomi again. Happy Friday. I'm so excited this week is over. I hope you guys have had a good week, and thank you again for keeping us sane during this crazy time. Love you all. Platypus.
Yes, girl, platypus, yay. Honey. Thank you, Naomi, for leaving us a little message on the open mic. We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we're going to play this a couple of times throughout the podcast. So if you didn't get a chance to listen on Friday's show to our air show, or maybe you woke up late and you missed this gem right here, it's called The Litter Box.
Uh-huh. Meow, meow. Meow, meow.
Mm-hmm.
Meow, meow.
Oh.
Meow, meow. Meow, meow. Meow, meow.
Let's go. Sitting here in quarantine, watching lots of Tiger King. Is Carol Baskin clean? Did a husband really leave the scene? Like, did a husband really just get up and leave? Joe Exotic got a word of Carol and started going crazy. Then Jeff Lowe stepped up in the picture and he's so shady. Joe tried to shut down Carol. She said, stop that. Now Joe's sitting up in jail, taking a cat nap. Will Joe ever be let go? We better watch that. I just really wanna know. Are you Team Carol or Team Joe?
Oh. Your parody song for Tiger King. Love that.
I love it. I love it.
I love as we're listening back to it, watching Scott's face, because you're just like mouthing the words with it.
I know I do. Like, I don't actually know I did. Mary, my girlfriend, pointed it out to me once. Like, when I watch videos or do pictures of myself, like, I make the same face and I mouth everything and like I'm watching it for the first time. I don't know why. Like,
that's fine. My mom actually does that too. So, sorry.
There'll be times we're doing the show.
The thing people do sometimes, I don't know.
I don't even know. I wish I could even, like, catch myself doing it. Like, in that moment, I literally didn't know I was doing
it. I want to get video. Like, Scott will be looking dead at my mouth. Like, he won't be looking at my face, but he'll be looking at my mouth. And as I'm talking, then you can see his mouth trying to mouth the words that I'm saying.
Yeah.
Do I really?
Yeah.
That's insane.
I don't know why you do, but it's a thing. It's not just you. And I'm saying, like, I noticed my mom did this. I started noticing it, like, when I was a teenager. Especially, it was when I was being, like, really serious and, like, having a heart-to-heart or whatever. And so she'd be, like, staring at me and her mouth would be moving. I'm like, bitch, I don't know what I'm about to say. But she does it. It's like, I don't know. It's a personality quirk. I don't know.
Interesting. Wow. I wonder what it looks like to talk to me. Because I'm like, oh, gosh, that must be really annoying.
No, it's not annoying. It's just funny when
it
happens.
It's different. I mean, if you're not used to it, you're like,
weird.
What are you doing?
I know. There was a couple of times when you first started working on this show when I would see you do that. And I was like, why is he looking at my mouth? Why aren't you looking at my whole face?
He's practicing what you're saying.
Yes, I'm going over it in my head.
Yes.
Oh, God. All right. Let's get your friend on the phone so we can. Do you have her number? Or did you give it to me?
I gave it to Scott.
Oh, Scott.
It's up there.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay,
yeah. Good. So this is her name is Amanda, and she lives in Indiana. Rhymes. And I saw on Facebook earlier this week, maybe late last week, that she is suffering from not just COVID-19, but several other things as well at the same time.
Oh.
And she'll have to tell you about it. But I just feel so bad. Oh. No?
Wait.
Maybe.
Hold on.
Maybe.
Patience.
Our phones are weird. It'll probably start ringing. I mean, on the board, it looks like it. There we go.
Hello?
Amanda?
Hi, Amanda.
Hi. Oh, my gosh, Holly.
Oh, hi, girl. I'm so sorry that you're dealing with all of this.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Better me than others.
Well, listen, if you at any time have to go, just hang up. And I will text you and make sure you're okay. But if you're like,
okay,
my chest hurts, I don't feel like doing this anymore, just leave. We don't care. Like, this is not on this is our podcast. So,
okay.
We just kind of wanted to see what was going on. So can you, and I don't want to make you talk a whole lot, but can you kind of go over the first post that I saw that you said that you had this, you don't just have COVID-19. What else is going on?
Yes. So I have a sinus infection, bronchitis. I did have pneumonia in my left lower lung. And then Monday we found out, just by talking to my doctor, that the pneumonia also was in my right lung due to just how I was feeling. And then of course I had all the symptoms of COVID-19. So where I'm at, there's so little testing, and they're saving those tests for the medical staff and also the elderly cancer patients and those that are in respiratory distress. So my ER doctor diagnosed me as positive just because he's seen it so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reported as positive without even having the test.
Oh, wow. Do you have any idea where you got this? How did you pick it up?
That is the craziest part. I have been working from home for 2 weeks, and I'm not a stutterer, I promise. It's just sometimes you can't breathe.
I get it. No, I totally get it. I'm like clutching my chest, by the way. I just feel so badly for you.
So we got sent to work from home, which was such a blessing. And then I've been on isolation, so I would only run out to grab groceries and was trying to stock up for like a month's time. And I would grab gas, but I would use like an old coat in my car and throw it away. I was like, oh, don't want it anymore. And then I ran to like go get medicine. And I was the only one that was so diligent over everyone. I threatened to go over to my family's house and parallel park them in the driveway if they didn't stop leaving.
Right, right.
So I was the one out of everyone I knew that was taking it the most serious.
Right.
And yet I'm the one that got it. But better me than them, I say.
I admire your attitude, but I mean, and I know, you know, I've seen on your Facebook, you said how worried your family has been for you.
Yes. I live alone. I'm single. So that's why I keep saying it's better for me. My parents are over 60. Well, they're 65 now. So this is dangerous for them. And they're around my grandparents who are in their late 80s. they, you know, it could be deadly for them.
Yeah.
And then my brother's living with my parents right now, so I don't want them, you know, him giving it to them. And then, of course, my sister is married and with my niece, and so I don't want them to get it, or my friends that are married with kids or anything like that. So it's like, honestly, out of everyone I know, I don't have roommates. I don't. So it's easiest for me to self-isolate and quarantine myself.
When you have these attacks, it sounds like, is it painful, or can you explain what it is what's happening with your body?
Yes. So basically, I had to go to the ER last night, and we found out actually I don't have pneumonia anymore, which is so phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But the virus attacks your lungs. So what's happening is it's constricting my like chest, and I can't like get a good breath. So for me, that's how I'm trying to breathe through it, is it's just like constricting your chest and your back all at the same time. Mm. So it's just how it's like sharp shooting pains that are like a 0 to 10. And then your chest feels like an elephant on it. So it's like, how do you get a good breath? And that's just like my way of breathing through it.
Have they said how long it'll be before you start to feel better?
They cannot tell you that because everyone's different. In my body, I had multiple infections. So they're like, hey, it could be, you know, 5 to 14 days. It could be 21 days. Mm. But because I just got off a Zoom video conference with my doctor, and she said it's a really good sign that I beat pneumonia so fast. Mm. And I'm like, wait, I still have such sharp shooting pains in my lungs. What's happening? And the virus attacks the lungs.
Mm. Are they giving you any sort of medications right now, or is it just your immune system is doing the fight for you?
My immune system is awesome, thankfully, but I am on nebulizer breathing treatment. Oh, sorry, guys.
No, it's okay.
And then I am taking zinc, 50 to 100 milligrams, and you take Tylenol. The zinc is to help boost your immune system, and then Tylenol is fever and for muscle aches. Mm. And then I was on Zithromax for 6 days, and that was the antibiotic. And these three things have been proven by many doctors to help, all three together. Then the nebulizer for breathing treatments, that opens up your airways. And I also have an inhaler, and let's see what else. Oh, I have cough syrup with codeine that helps me. Mm. And so just it's a mix of things. They just prescribed me Toradol from last night in the ER to help with the pain and inflammation, because my lungs, even though I don't have pneumonia anymore, my lungs are highly inflamed. So that doesn't help. But I'm hanging in there, and it's good. And the thing that people really need to understand is you've got to get up and moving. You can't just stay down.
Right.
Right. I'm imagining that once you're up and moving, your whatever is going on in your lungs is like working itself out. And if you were to just lay all the time, I mean, I know you don't have the pneumonia anymore, but whatever it is attacking your lungs would settle and just sit there.
Right. And that's the problem. And you have to hold your breath for 10 seconds. It is excruciating pain, but that virus is trying to attack your lungs. So you have to fight back. You have to stay hydrated. You have to move. You have to, even though your body says, I just want to sleep. You have to fight against that in every possible way. So getting up and moving is so important, and breathing, holding your breath for 10 seconds. It is going to hurt so bad, but you have got to do it, and you just have to fight against it.
When did you first start to feel symptoms, and when did you first start thinking, oh my gosh, I think something is wrong?
Well, I actually struggle with sinuses and allergies and stuff. So I started feeling it a few days before, but I thought it was just maybe like the change of weather or, you know, spring allergies. And I was like, whatever, it's all good. And I had some tummy issues, but I usually eat fast food. And so since I've been like isolating myself and cooking my own food, I thought, oh, that's why. But then I had woke up one day and I just did not feel well at all. And I thought, oh my gosh, could I have it? So I had called my doctor's office and I thought, I think I have a sinus and bronchitis, my usual stuff. And she said, but you also have COVID-19 symptoms. You have to get screened. Mm. So it's a virtual process. I had all symptoms, but I'm so sorry.
No, don't you be I had
all symptoms but one, so they said to self-quarantine for 7 days. I got worse the next day, and my doctor's office told me I had got to get myself to the ER because I could die because the virus moves that fast. Mm. Now, that will shock you, and you go, what? What?
Absolutely.
So I was in... Okay, so thankfully I live less than like 2 miles from the hospital and was able to get there immediately. And thankfully we caught it early on, and it was a very scary experience. But I kept very positive, and I'm more worried about my loved ones because they're so worried.
My goodness. Well, we are giving you so many hugs. Yes. I've never met you before, but you sound like an amazingly strong human.
Definitely.
And I feel like I would be the biggest baby in the world. And to hear the strength in your voice and how you're getting your story out there and helping so many people, just thank you for doing that.
Yes.
And we're sending you so much love.
So much love. So many healing, positive love vibes at you all the way, all these states away. So please just keep doing what you're doing. It sounds like you're doing the only thing you can do, which is monitoring and going to the ER if you need to and meeting with doctors. And, you know, if there's anything we can do. I mean, I know that sounds so lame. I don't know what we could do, but we're here for you.
I'm going to say we can Uber Eats you something to your house if
that's
you need
true.
To.
That's true. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Don't make me laugh. It hurts.
Okay, sorry.
No.
Ellen, Holly, thank you. Thank you so much. You don't understand. My whole point was just to help one person. And so just doing this is going to help so many others. And we've never met, but I know Holly and I adore her, but I adore you too. Cause you guys, what you do and just doing what you do every single day is helping so many people, and you don't even know it. So thank you.
Well, can we check in with you in a couple of weeks to see how you're doing, to see how the recovery is going?
Absolutely, of course.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Amanda. Go get some rest and fight this thing, okay?
Of course. I got this.
Awesome.
Yes, you do.
Love
All
you,
right.
girl.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, my heart.
my chest hurts. I just feel so bad. Like, I just feel so bad because you have to be alone.
Yeah.
It makes me cry. Oof.
She sounds like an incredibly strong human being.
Oh,
definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. You know, us Midwest folks.
Corn-fed.
Corn-fed.
You can get through anything.
No, but I didn't know what to expect, obviously. Oh. All I knew is that reading her Facebook posts, I was like, oh, shit. Like,
right.
You see other posts. I've seen a couple posts from people who have had it,
mm-hmm.
and they talk about, like, how weak they felt or how whatever it was. But it's crazy when you talk to someone or you hear someone's story, like I saw on her Facebook, who's mm-hmm. actively going through it. And that's why I was like, maybe we should talk to her.
Absolutely.
I think it's just it's a sobering reminder that we're doing this for a reason.
Right.
To prevent people from getting that.
And it's upsetting because, you know, we're all frustrated. We're all feeling just trapped.
Yeah.
And uncertain about everything. And I know, especially if you lost your job and you're furloughed and you're like, I can't pay my bills. But that right there, what your friend is going through is exactly why we're taking all of these precautions.
It's absolutely right. So, I mean, I'm really thankful that she could speak with us. I was worried because yesterday she's like, I don't know. I mean, I'll try.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's fine. We could. And I told her, I was like, if you have to go, I typed it. You heard me tell her in the beginning. I was mm-hmm. like, I don't want to make you do something. But
right.
She used to be in radio, too, actually.
Mm.
And so she gets it. She gets it from a standpoint of, you know, doing what you can do with what you have to be the greater good.
Absolutely.
So thank you for letting her come on.
No, thank you for having her.
Yeah.
Scott, you looked like just that devastated.
That was so hard to listen to. Like, that has probably been the most, like, and again, it's painful to hear. It's scary to hear. It's very eye-opening to hear. And, like, that's all going through. But, like, I don't know. There's moments I almost wanted to take off my headphones because it was like, one, it just scared the crap out of me. And also, like, it physically hurt to hear that.
Yeah, didn't. I literally was clutching my chest. Because if you've ever had pneumonia or bronchitis, you know what it feels like to have a chest illness. So I can't imagine. We got to try and stay healthy.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it literally puts it into perspective
yes.
You know, because we've all been doing the right things. But when you have those moments of like, I just want to go to the bar.
Right.
I want to go to the movies.
I don't want my nails to look like this anymore.
Right.
Nope.
And you're like, that's why we're doing what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Are you
That's
okay?
Heavy.
Sorry. I know.
No, don't be sorry. Heavy. That was what we needed.
No, yeah. That's clear as day now. Like, I didn't know what to expect. That was something. Like, I couldn't even picture that. Like,
yeah.
That's right. Worse than what I actually pictured.
Yeah,
that's
me too.
Crazy.
I wasn't sure what to expect either. And obviously, that's not what her voice normally sounds like.
I was going to ask, yeah.
No, not at all. It's definitely not that deep at all.
Oh, is her voice like yours?
Yeah.
Is it a little bit?
It's like light. Probably very much like mine. I would probably, I don't know if I could find audio anywhere, but it's absolutely not that deep on the normal. Like,
yeah.
It's a little higher than that. And then, of course, with like the wheezing and like the gasping for breath, it just, I feel for her.
That's probably happening like all throughout the night when you're just trying to like get some rest and,
mm-hmm.
I just can't imagine. Well, there you go.
Yeah. So I guess that's a good reminder as we go into another weekend, you know, quarantined at home and thinking, man, this is so lame. Why are we even doing this? That's why.
Yeah.
I mean, for both you and your loved ones and other people out there that we're trying to protect.
Absolutely. Wow. Let's do something, a little mood cleanser here real quick.
Okay.
Hold on. We'll just do this again.
Boop.
The reset.
I need a second.
Yeah.
Let's go. Sitting here in quarantine, watching lots of Tiger King. Is Carol Baskin clean? Did a husband really leave the scene? Like, did a husband really just get up and leave? Joe Exotic got a word of Carol and started going crazy. Then Jeff Lowe stepped up in the picture and he's so shady. Joe tried to shut down Carol. She said, stop that. Now Joe's sitting up in jail, taking a cat nap. Will Joe ever be let go? We better watch that. I just really want to know. Are you Team Carol or Team Joe?
There we go. Okay. Just a little. All right. Shake it off. God, am I friends with her on Facebook? I want to send her a message.
I don't know.
I need to send her a message just to be like thinking about you.
Yeah, I'll
I'll take a look after all this is over.
I'll find out if you're on there.
So what I'm curious about as we go into Easter weekend, Holly, what normal traditions would you normally have in your house for Easter weekend?
Okay, so that's a pretty easy question. We always do the same thing every Easter, and that is on Easter. Well, actually, I take that back. It has switched back and forth depending on when I had my daughter. Mm. Because before I had a child, we would go to like the overnight Easter Mass, the Easter Vigil. Mm. Y'all, that ain't no joke.
What time does that happen?
It depends. It varies from church to church. Like some of them will do it at 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. and it goes until like 11:30. Mm-hmm. Or some churches will actually have it at midnight and it goes to like 2 in the morning.
Oh, gosh. Because,
like, you have to understand, like, in Christianity, Easter is the big holiday. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the big thing because it just is. That's when Jesus was resurrected.
He came back.
Jesus came back. So Easter's like the most important thing, even over Christmas or anything else. So we would be like in church, and that's where they do the whole thing and whatever. But then when you have a kid, you don't really go to the Easter Vigil because
you can't have a six-year-old out at midnight.
No, or you can't have a two-year-old out, whatever. Right. So we stopped doing that. And then in the last several years, we would just go to Easter Sunday Mass at like 9 or 11 or something like that. Mm-hmm. But generally then the Easter Bunny comes. So Saturday night, you get excited for the Easter Bunny. Maybe you put out one of your colored eggs. Mm. Maybe you put out a carrot. Mm-hmm. I don't know, just whatever you want to do.
Probably wants a carrot.
I'm saying. And then you wake up in the morning and the Easter Bunny came and there's little eggs hidden all over the house with little goodies in them from the Easter Bunny, and your Easter basket with all kinds of goodies is hidden too.
Yes.
And then for our Easter Bunny anyway, sometimes we'll also bring a couple other little gifts and hide them around the house. Oh. Not to the extent of like Christmas.
What sort of gifts are we talking about?
I don't know. Like what for a six-year-old? So maybe like a new Baby Alive doll the Easter Bunny will bring.
Oh, nice. Wow. That's fancy.
I know.
Do you put that in a plastic egg or is it just, like, how do you hide that? Is it just in like Easter egg wrapping paper?
Sometimes, yeah. Like Easter egg wrapping paper or whatever. And it's, like I said, that's not a lot. Easter Bunny doesn't have a lot of room to carry things like that. So it might be like a couple things. Just surprise.
Well, and this is the COVID-19 Easter Bunny. And so we're all struggling a little bit financially.
Right. I don't know. And Easter Bunny knows that there's something going on in the world.
Yeah.
So the Easter Bunny may just be keeping it real simple this year. And I think that's okay.
Is the Easter Bunny a he or a she?
I assumed it's a he. Like Peter Cottontail.
Oh,
okay. But that's not the Easter Bunny. I don't know. Don't ask about genders. I don't know.
I don't. Holly, you read children's books. I don't know. Do they ever specify?
No. I don't think I've ever read a book about the Easter Bunny.
Like, does Easter Bunny have a song?
I thought it was Here Comes Peter Cottontail.
Is that like the Easter song?
Down the bunny trail. That's the Easter hoppity song? Easter's on its way.
Oh, dab-a-dab-a-dab-bum-bum.
What is it called?
Here Comes Peter Cottontail.
Here Comes Peter. Now I'm like really curious. Like, what's... Wait.
I also had a music box when I was little that played a song that was like...
Here we go. All right, kids, join along.
Oh, my. I thought that was the video.
Oh, yeah.
Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail. Hippity hoppity, Easter's on its way.
On its way, on its way.
Bringing every girl and boy baskets full of Easter joy. Things to make your Easter
gay?
Yeah, that's right.
Gay? Is RuPaul popping out, girl?
No, maybe it's like I don't know.
Gay?
Yeah, that's right.
He's got jelly beans for Tommy, colored eggs for Sister Sue.
Yeah, Sister Sue.
There's an orchid for your mommy and an Easter bonnet too.
Ooh.
Oh, here comes Peter.
Yep.
Both of those kids were white. Well, I wish they'd have a little more multicultural colorings up in here.
Agreed.
Like, where's little Denzel? Huh?
That song is old. They did not put people of color in songs back then.
Here
I'm
comes
sorry.
Denzel, y'all.
I wish.
No, here Walk comes Tyreek.
But like, that's a big thing. So like on Easter when I was a kid, and we're not obviously, we are not going to church this year at all. We're going to probably like stream a service. But the big thing for Easter is that you did have like an Easter bonnet, like you had a hat, and you always had like a flower pinned on your Easter orchid. I don't know. It's like a big deal. We don't do that much. Like when I was little, it was a way bigger to do. Probably, but then as like I became the mom, I was like,
I remember there was like one big Easter celebration we had, and it's like the one where I think my mom like won some money from the lottery or something because she bought me a new suit and it was purple. And it was like my purple suit for Easter.
Yes.
And it's like this one, I gotta find the picture and post it this weekend on my social media. Because I was so excited, my purple suit.
Yeah.
And we had like this fake tree in the house. It's like plastic tree. And I remember I was like, Mom, I was taking a picture in front of the tree, my purple suit. And so I did this like hand movement where I was like, I'm a model. And I got my purple suit. I was so excited to go to church and get my Easter basket.
Yep.
I didn't have a bonnet though.
Well,
cotton hopping down the jam trail. Hippity hoppity happy.
So is that the song that y'all grew up? I've never heard this before.
I know the lyrics of that one. I don't know if that's the actual song.
Again, there's less focus on, it's not Christmas, like
right.
Part two. It's like, I don't really remember like putting that song on and singing it. I just remember it being around. I'd like Scott, like I know the words, like I know that song, but I wasn't sure if it was the official Easter song or not.
Here comes Peter.
Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, oh, man, I could listen to that all day.
Yeah, so, well, you can do it at home.
That's all how right. Easter works. So this year is going to be a little different. So there's no church. We're just going to stream a service at home. Maya's with her dad this weekend. So I was like flummoxed a bit because I was like, I thought I had her on
Are you going to get drunk on Easter?
Yeah, probably.
Is that allowed?
That's
allowed.
Yeah.
Girl, we Catholic. Wine. We drink a lot.
Okay.
Didn't like, Jesus turn the water into wine?
Yeah. We have wine at church, which is turned into the blood of Christ. But nice. Also, you know, at any kind of like Catholic picnic, festival, they have an entire beer tent. Like, we don't play.
Turn up for Jesus.
That's crazy because the religion I grew up in, there was no alcohol. There was no music.
Not Catholics. Catholics were like, Jesus made wine to make people happy.
No. Like my family, if my grandma's around, there's no drinking. Like
But the wedding at Cana. Like they had, that's where Jesus made the water into wine.
No.
Oh.
No alcohol. Don't go to what they used to call it. Like I remember all the young kids that I grew up with at my church. I grew up a Seventh-day Adventist. And they used to read us these like books that probably were made in like the 70s or something. And they'd be like, don't go to the club because Jesus will not go inside with you. He'll be standing outside waiting, saying, why you go?
Why are you in the club?
Damn!
But what did they say? They used to call like the clubhouse. No.
House of ill repute.
No.
was it that? Speaking of which, really quick side tangent while you think of what it's called. One time when we were living in Panama City, obviously way before I had Maya, and before I met you, before I had met my now ex-husband, I didn't have anything to do on Easter. I had nothing, so I went to Club La Vila the night before.
Oh, my god!
You went to the club?
And me and this girl were like, well, these vodka cranberries are kind of like wine, so mazel tov.
Breaking it down for Jesus.
That's not the right religion for me. But yeah.
Hey, I like
so,
it.
The next day I was super hungover on Easter. That was probably the worst Easter.
How crazy.
It was really not good.
Oh my God, I want to know what it's called. I don't know. They used to call it something really weird, like a really old, like I feel like at that time all the adults, so my grandmas were in the 30s. 40, 50. So probably like whatever the club was called in like the 50s or 60s, like that's what they would call it.
The sock hop. The hoot nanny.
The hoot. That was probably more so where my people went to, the hoot nanny.
Is it a bar or a club that you went
to? It was a club. And it's like a club.
Speakeasy?
No.
Damn it.
That was the 20s. Damn, I wish I could remember the term.
I'm looking.
But they used to always be like, well, don't go because Jesus won't come inside. And then that's why I would always.
The jazz club?
The jazz.
Damn it. I'm sorry. I don't know.
No, it's fine. I'll think of it like later on today and I'll come back with it next week.
Please text us when you find out.
I will. Scott, what did you do for Easter growing up? Because you grew up half Jewish.
Yeah, but I mean, my mom still, she liked to have the traditions because she grew up nice and Christian in her little town.
Nice and Christian?
Nah, she's a nice Christian girl.
So she's not Jewish.
No, no, but she converted. When my parents got together for marriage.
Got it, got
it. So, but we would always do, like, at least the eggs. We would paint the eggs. That would be, like, the fun thing. I always like to do, because it's very weird, and I don't know if I would want to do this to my kids, but having a split household is weird.
Yeah.
There's always one that gets more prioritized than the other. So I always like doing the little traditions that my mom liked to do, just because it was, like, that was a piece of her life.
Yeah.
That if, like, you know, okay, we all had the Jewish stuff, well, let's throw in a little bit of my stuff. So do the Easter eggs. I would go, like, I like going to church, but we wouldn't really go unless it was, like, either I was up in North Carolina with my mom's side of the family, then we would go, or, like, now, I went last year, or, like, 2 years ago, to my girlfriend's family's church, and I did that whole thing. So, at my house, it's pretty relaxed. Like, when I was younger, probably found Easter eggs, probably did the little Easter egg hunt, didn't really go to church for Easter, but painted Easter eggs, had a big dinner, like, that's something my mom would want to do, like, cook a big old ham.
Yeah, you gotta have a ham.
Gotta have a ham. So that was part of it. Not really the religious side of it. But actually during this time would be like Passover. So we'd also have a Passover dinner.
Man, that's so tough in a split household like that.
It's not the greatest to, I mean, like, it's cool to be able to see both sides. But I think at this point now I'm like, what the hell? It's like you don't get enough of each. So you're like, wait.
So you don't really get the best of either one. And so you don't, like, really know what to celebrate.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing because it's like I was pretty dang Jewish up until I got bar mitzvahed.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then I was kind of like, okay, well, now you decide what you want to do. And I was 13. So I was like, I'm not going to temple anymore. Like, I've been going my whole life. So kind of just dropped off, like, the going to an actual religious sanctuary to study. I was like, nah, I'm good. But now I'm like, well, what am I?
And that's Do you regret stopping?
You know, this is such an interesting conversation. I don't regret stopping because I was, you know, 13. I had other things in my life that were taking more of a priority for, I guess, an adolescent kid.
Better than church?
Well, I mean, I think, no, like, I wish I would have gone more. Like, I like going now. Before we went on quarantine, like, I was starting to go back to church. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of sitting for about an hour and really just focusing on reflecting and becoming a better one of myself. I don't like it when it's so heavy on the religious side. I don't like to just be, like, constantly preached the Lord. I like to hear the Lord's lesson and take that with me for about an hour. So I would go back, but it's just, it always ended up on, like, a rough night. Like, for me, it was like temple was a Friday night. Let's say a Friday night. Well, usually Friday nights, well, especially when I got into high school, that was football nights. There's other things in my life that were like,
oh, you let football.
The Lord led me to football, you know?
And so you chose it over the Lord?
Oh, dear.
No, the Lord wanted football in my life. And then Saturday mornings, I would have football workouts. So that would be the other service. So, I mean, I wish I would have gone more. Yes. Do I wish I would have put it all over everything? No. But now I'm starting to put it back into my life of just, like, testing out religions.
But I think that happens with everybody.
Yeah.
Because when you're a teen, you do that thing. That's what teenagers do. Like, my mom would go to church all the time when we were growing up. But when I get to be in, like, high school, I would be sleeping in. And then she would go to church. And I'd be like, okay, bye. And she'd be like, well, when you have a kid, you'll find it.
I wish. If you stay at my grandma's house, like, you'd getting your butt up on Saturday and going to church.
Yeah.
Like, all throughout high school. And I remember I always wanted to go do things on the weekends, but I lived so far away from where my friends in high school lived. And so Friday nights, like, I would be on AOL chat trying to, like, talk to people. And they'd be like, oh, we're over at Colton's house. We're all just having fun. I'd be like, I'm here. Can't turn on the TV because it's the Sabbath. So I'm just going to be online. So then that's when I created my alter gay ego of Zach online. I'd go to the gay teen chat rooms when I was like 14 and 15. And I was like, any other young gays out here, Seventh-day Adventists that got to wake up for church?
Jeez.
Anybody? No? Okay.
There wasn't
I don't know why. That's why I did a lot of reading. That's when I really like got into all of my different types of books and Harry Potter and all that stuff, because I did nothing on Friday nights and I was always like, oh, it'd be nice to go somewhere. And I remember when I went to college, I tried to go to church. I went to a Seventh-day Adventist church once when I got to my two-year school. And so I don't know how this works in the Catholic Church, Holly, but like, so, and I don't know if it's this way anymore, but like in the Seventh-day Adventist church, they had like where your church was affiliated under like the main umbrella of Seventh-day Adventist. And then they would have different conferences for the region. Like it was called the South Atlantic Conference for, I think, like Florida and Georgia and the Carolinas. But it was a black conference and a white conference. So, like, I remember the black one was called the South Atlantic Conference. It had, like, a whole president administration that then, you know, they fed up to the general conference, the big worldwide one. But then, like, right in Georgia, they had the white churches. And there was, like, two different conferences. And I don't even know if,
what
like,
the
they
hell?
Put together. Yeah, it was really crazy. Oh, absolutely. So I'm so curious if it's still that way.
I would hope not.
I don't even remember where I was going with this. But it was just really interesting looking. Oh, I remember. Because when I got to my two-year college and the only church at my two-year school was the white church. They didn't have a black one. And so I went and everyone was like, I remember it being in a trailer. Everyone was super nice. But I was like 17. I was at college. The reason why I went to South Georgia away from Atlanta, because I wanted to be gay. I wanted to like live my life and be open and be honest. And I was like, you know, this really isn't for me. Huh. So I'm not going to go. And then it was like, I'm in college. I don't want to like do the whole Sabbath thing on a Friday night, Saturday.
Yeah.
And then because of how strict the Seventh-day Adventism is about homosexuality, I sort of was like, I'm done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's so many religions too, and they all bring it back to the Bible to be like, you know, the Old Testament.
Right.
Like old school. You realize there's nothing about homosexuality in the New Testament at all.
Right.
I love that nobody likes to pay attention to that.
No.
But what I do like about this new pope is he's the one that's trying, I think, I mean, within the Catholicism, like, came from Jesus. Mm. Like, I mean, I'm talking like when Jesus was like, peace out, you know, I'm risen, but now I'm going back up to heaven. So, Peter, you're going to just take it over.
Mm.
So, technically, Peter was the first pope.
Mm.
And he started what's now the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, and it is, to your point, with your conferences that feed up to the larger one,
mm-hmm.
that's how it is in Catholicism too, because you have the Pope in
right.
Rome with the Vatican. That's like the head up there. And then you've got all the different, they trickle out. So there's like it's called the Diocese of St. Petersburg, the Tampa Diocese. They have all these different, like, you know, but they all feed up into the one big same thing.
Oh.
Wait, I lost my point now.
It's Friday, girl. We're all over the place. It's fine.
Anyway, but so with that, it always felt like with homosexuality, that's what it was going to be. It's like they had this staunch, like, you know, policy. And so it's been weird for me because I grew up with Catholicism. So that's what I know. And I appreciate some of the traditions of it because, I mean, like I said, it dates back to Jesus,
right,
with the Last Supper, and that's why we do communion the way we do it,
mm-hmm.
where the priest breaks the bread, and you go up, and you receive it, and like the Last Supper, it becomes the body and blood of Jesus. So every single week, we're receiving Jesus, and
right.
it's I like that. What I don't like is like the religious part of it. Like when I say religious, I mean the man-made structure,
right,
to which Jesus didn't necessarily leave instructions for all those rules. They looked to, like, the Old Testament, and then they came up with this other stuff. And so when it comes to being gay, and this is why I like the new pope, where he's like, if someone is gay and has Jesus in their heart, who cares?
Right.
Whereas you have some of the stricter, like, the cardinals and the bishops that are all, like, lower than the pope, some of them are, like, super old school, and they're like, because they consider this pope very progressive.
Mm.
And so he is the only one, I think, ever in the history, maybe Pope John Paul II, who was pretty, like, the people loved him. But he's the first one that said anything like that about homosexuality.
Mm.
And it was, like, a turning point, I think, for the Catholic Church, because it's starting the normalization and the acceptance and the love everyone process more.
Yeah.
And so when you really think about it, like that's why my mom would probably say, I'm being a a la carte Catholic. But I'm like, okay, I know what I believe for sure. Right. Mm-hmm. I know who I am. I know my friends. I love you, Miguel. And I'm like, that doesn't match with what is right.
Right.
And I refuse to believe that if Jesus was standing here today, he would be like, ooh, sorry, bro.
Yikes.
You're done.
And I know this is very controversial, so I don't know why I even brought this up. But I just feel like for me, that whole thing is not even applicable.
Right.
It's like, it's the same argument we go back to where it's like, oh, women on their period can't go in the temple or whatever. Why are we still not following that rule?
Mm-hmm.
But we're following the... It's a bigger discussion. Wow. But I think Jesus' main message and the one he said, and he said, which I know all this now because I've been going to church a lot because of Maya. We go with, you know, to church because my mom wanted her to, and I wanted her to be raised Catholic, give her a base of something. So I know a lot more of it now. But when Jesus was like there and he was like, oh, I'm the Son of God, and he's like, there's a new commandment. This is your new commandment. Love your neighbor. Period.
Right.
No. Love your neighbor, except love your neighbor. Well, but that guy, no, love your neighbor.
That's what I've always felt after I left the church when I was in college. Because, you know, I feel like I went through my like crazy phase because I was so good and I was so, you know, I followed everything except for the gay thing. But like it fucks you up when you're young.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, and I remember... any time that I would have, you know, personal time, you know, when you're discovering your body.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And, like, all throughout high school, every time I would do it, I would literally, when I was done, I'd be like, I'm sorry, Jesus, I won't do it again. I won't do it again. And that's why I feel like for so long when it came to having sex, there was so much shame around it because I was always like, this is so bad. We should not be doing this. And I remember one of my first boyfriends I was ever with, he would be like, you're so awkward. Like, what are you, like, what's wrong? He was like, you're so confident in everything else. But then as soon as the clothes come off, you are like a schoolgirl. Like you
it
just
was taught to make you feel shame.
Yeah. And so there was like one time, and I don't know, I wonder if this is going to sound awkward because it wasn't after the fact, but I know what he was trying to do now. So I was 18. Yeah, I was 18. And he was in his mid-20s, and this is when I literally was, like, discovering my body and, like, trying to figure out, you know, like, what turns me on? Who am I? What am I really into? And he was like, I want you to take your clothes off, be naked, and then just stand here. Just stand in front of me. Don't touch yourself. Don't do anything. Just stand here and just admire your body. I couldn't.
Yeah, I was going to say that's way hard for someone who is has been shamed or has some kind of thing where they aren't comfortable. Like, it's not just a quick thing you can do.
Right.
It can take months and years to be able to be okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, and it's finally gotten better now. Like, I'm comfortable with doing it. But then I think what happened is, like, once I got comfortable finally in my skin a little bit, then when I did have relations with guys back in the day, I would be in my head about it. Because, like, I totally missed the whole, like, feel your body, just be into the moment. And I'd be like, so
because
this
you're carrying baggage.
Right, exactly. So I'd be like, this is what I think I'm supposed to do. So this is what we are supposed to do next. Wait, have we been doing this one thing too much? And should we move to this now? Mm-hmm. And literally, it wasn't until Abe... where I was finally able to just focus on my body and him and us and what's happening and finally be able to get it. And sometimes I still fall into it. We'll be like going about it and then I'll be like, wait a minute. Why am I fucking thinking about what we're having for dinner tonight? Oh. What are you doing, Miguel? Get in the game. And then I'll have to be like, okay, what is your body feeling? And we're back.
So you are not alone.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people just like that. Who have some kind of something that fucked them up about sex.
Mm-hmm.
And they always feel outside.
Yes.
Or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Or am I doing this right?
Right.
What is this even supposed to be? Mm-hmm. You are so not alone.
so interesting when you dig down into those sort of the situations that shaped you and what the outcome of it is.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of like circling all the way back to your friend Amanda that we talked to and how we're dealing with COVID-19 now. And what effect is it going to have on like your daughter, Maya? Like, is she going to, she's six now. Is she going to be like her generation? Are they going to be like way more clean freak? Or are they going to do the reverse of where we thought things were going, where, you know, old people are like, oh, on Christmas Day, no kids are outside riding their bikes. They're all inside on the technology. Well, now we're kind of forced to like, that's all you got. That's all your entertainment is going outside. And so now is that going to like bring us back to being one with nature and like enjoying time outside? What are the unintended consequences of what we're going through now?
I'm so curious.
For like Maya's generation.
Yeah. Generation A.
Is that what they're calling them now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because Scott's Z.
Oh.
So Maya's Generation A.
So we're just starting back again.
Just starting over.
Why millennials? We didn't get to be a letter. Why are we just millennials?
Honored that you have a whole thing.
We're, why?
Wait.
Technically, the millennials are Generation Y.
Mm.
But because the turn of the millennium was such a big thing and it did start a new generation, they just went with millennial.
Oh.
Technically, millennials are Gen Y because Z was before us. We're Y. Scott Z. What did I say?
Wait. We're Y.
X was before us. Gen X.
Oh, they were so cool.
They were really. They were some badass bitches.
You missed Gen X, Scott. They were so cool.
Mm. You know who's cool? Gen Z. Me. We're cool.
See, that's what they think.
I might have said, you know what? We'll determine your coolness factor in about 5 years.
Yeah, I'm going to be really cool then. I'm going to be 28.
I'm going home. The podcast is over.
Man, shut it down. No, but Gen X,
God damn it.
Then Y, we were Y, but millennials are Y, right. Then Z over here, and then Maya starts over with A.
Wow, that's crazy. Well, if you're a Gen Xer, like, just know that I remember trying to claim Gen X, like, in the 90s.
I thought I was Gen X for a long time because we didn't really know, nobody knew that there was going to be a millennial generation.
And they didn't have the internet to go Wikipedia and tell you.
You couldn't Google shit?
No, there was no Google.
There wasn't anything. You just had to read books.
We just sound so old.
That's what I love about our generation, though, is because we have a hand in everything.
Yeah,
like,
no,
we
true.
Have a hand in, there was no internet. There were no cell phones. There were no DVRs. There were no ATMs. Like, it was all of this analog life.
Well, and we were the last to really know what it's like for the whole nation, the whole world, to watch something at the same time.
Yes.
So, like, for instance, right now, like, we're watching Tiger King, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's been out for 3 weeks now.
Right.
And so it's been, like, a rollout of, like, I watch it first, and then, like, that 2 weekends ago, I convinced you two to watch it.
And then we watched it.
And then you watched it. Whereas, like, back in the day, like, you remember where you were for the last Friends episode?
I could tell you exactly where I was.
Yeah, I was in a college dorm room watching it, and we're all like, oh, but, like, none of us had, like, watched it that season.
Right, because, no, we didn't either.
Yeah.
But you had to tune in for the last episode.
You did, but we were all like, all right, let's watch it. We're all sitting around the dorm room watching the last episode of Friends.
It was all at the same time, same place, because you had to be. I was on the blue and white checkered couch of the Alpha Z house. I know. And the same thing with Dawson's Creek episodes. We would all go to the same person. It was the little conference room in the sophomore dorms.
Mm.
We would watch it there. But yeah, like, so we did that. But then we were technically the first people to, like, the youngest and earliest to jump on technology, where we were like, oh, we're teenagers. Computers? That's cool. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll work at it. I'll figure it out. Cell phones? What the fuck do you do with these? Okay, we'll figure it out.
Oh, yeah.
At DVRs? You can pause TV, girl!
Girl, get a TiVo, honey.
What's a TiVo? I'm gonna do it. We gotta do it. And, like, we were the first people to figure it out, whereas with Scott's generation, you were born into it.
It was just there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's crazy.
I guess in college, did they have the Dewey Decimal System to look up stuff at the library? No, you don't know.
I mean, no. let me think.
They
of the
still
library.
Have it. It's yeah. still there, but it's
but you didn't learn it.
You no. didn't even the library. We
like the. I'm sorry.
Library.
What?
No, but like I didn't go to the library to get books.
The library.
I just went to the library to like just like sit on a computer and just study. Like that was a weird thing about like I guess at any college or like right now, but at USF it's like. The books are just there. I don't really know anybody. Like, every now and then, yes, you need a like a book from class that's there. But they're just kind of just there as decoration almost. It feels like to me.
Like, did you ever write a paper in college and had to, you know, to get your sources, go to the, here are the books I'm going to resource, go to the library, go to card catalog, here's where it is, and then
check
walk over
out.
And go to it, and then have, like, three books poured open on the big desk, and you're like, all right, so this is what this theorist said, and I had to take what this theorist said, and then, like, you're typing out your paper. Did you ever do that?
No. I mean, like, I might have done, like, one thing similar, but you could just... Everything is on your laptop. Like, everything is just right there. So any book that you need, you could get right there. If you need a book, yeah, but I honestly can't remember anything that I needed to go to the library and get a book. I remember in classes, like, if a professor would say that, it would be like, huh? Wow. I'm not going to go grab a book. Ugh.
We weren't even allowed to use online articles as resources because it was like, we don't really know if the internet is... trustworthy, so you have to go get a physical book because it doesn't count otherwise.
I think when I was there, when I got to my four-year school, if I can go through, if I can remember, I think there were only like certain sites that you could
reference. Yeah, there were like a couple, like
yeah,
like the utmost, like some kind of like Merriam-Webster's,
right, right,
or
like
whatever.
Encyclopedia, like they were
yes.
putting their stuff online.
Yeah, Encyclopedia,
right.
What is it?
Britannica.
Encyclopedia.
Mm-hmm. Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah.
But that was it. Like, you couldn't... And I remember, like, one time I had... Because like, I think... Oh, I remember now. You could only source, like, one or two things from the internet. Everything else had to come from a book.
A book, yes.
And that's what it was. And then I remember I had, like, one extra one from online, and I was like... Girl, thankfully he was lenient.
Well, they used to force us to kind of do like that because it was very easy to find it. So I do remember a couple of classes, or maybe even before like college, but it was like, yes, you're only allowed to have like one internet source. Like you have to. That's what we used to do in like language arts classes in high school to make sure that we knew how to actually research a book. It was like you have to go and find the book, go in the pages and do it. College, it wasn't as like strict, I guess, but I guess it depends on your major.
When you were at USF, like, did you have to go to, like, the bookstore, campus bookstore, and buy your textbooks for class?
Yeah, yeah.
So they weren't, like, all online?
No, I mean, majority were, but, like,
your books were online?
Yeah,
a
good
amount. And you paid the same, what kind of money did
you pay?
No,
you'd get an ebook, and it would be a lot cheaper. Like, a lot cheaper. And that's why people either would just not buy books, or you would just get them online if you had the choice. But now it's, like, they're getting more and more and more online because it's just so much easier.
When we go home to Chateau Oprah, Scott, I'll show you the bottom shelf of my bookcase in the house. It's like the college books that I bought. Like they're the only ones that I wanted to keep, and they're all about radio or either like because I was at that time I've lost every skill of this. I was really into graphic design, and I loved typography, and I love a font. Mm. And I have, like, all these books about fonts, and I used to have, like, my favorite five fonts that I would use. That's when I used to design newspaper layouts when I was in newspapers back in the day.
Oh!
But I remember, like, I'd be like, I paid $300 for that book.
Right?
I'm keeping it.
I have a gigantic book that would probably kill a bitch if I threw it at someone's head. That is the complete works of William Shakespeare.
Oh.
Because I was a I was a communications major, but I'm also a professional writing minor.
Mm.
And so I had to take a lot of writing courses and also courses that you would have to read those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
So when I bought that, I'm like, ain't getting rid of this one.
It's here forever.
Forever. And the other types of books that I have, because I have a lot of writing books, like MLA format.
Oh, yes.
APA format books.
Oh, my God.
On Writing Well by somebody Stein, somebody. Anyway, I have all those, but then I also kept all of my Eastern Asian culture books because I started studying Eastern Asian culture, like your Buddhism, your Taoism, and I was fascinated. And that was the first time I really had ever even known about anything else besides Christianity. And so I was like diving in deep. And then when I kept all those books, I had like a coffee table book and my mom came to visit and she was like, what is this?
Oh.
I was like, I'm learning about it. And she was like, So then she left that. I remember distinctly she left and she like left a little statue of the Virgin Mary somewhere. And she had like replaced one of my Buddhist statues.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
She was like, I just need to make sure. I'm like, Mom.
Oh, God.
I got it. I got all of it. Here's Jesus. Here's the cross.
No.
Here's Buddha. We can all live together. Yes. No, we can't. Okay, that's cool.
Oh, my God. That's how I felt about my African-American studies class. Like, I got so into it. I took African American studies. I then took an extra class for African studies, which it literally didn't account for anything.
Yeah.
Because I had, like, all my electives filled and everything. But I think it was, like, my last semester at my two-year school. And I was, like, I was only taking, like, two classes. And I'm, like, I want to learn more about Africa. And so I seriously considered when I got to my four-year school, Georgia Southern University, of minoring in African American studies. And God bless my advisor, Dr. Stone. She was, like, I'm here for it, and I will never discourage you from learning, but you're going to be tacking on another $5,000 to $10,000 and another two semesters. So if you want to, you can, you're but like, just know this is what it looks like. I was like, I'm good, girl.
You're like, I'm fine.
I'm good. I don't need to.
I'm fine.
So,
Africa.
Yeah, that's fine. I still have those books, too, and I can tell you a lot about Africa if you ever want to know.
Oh, always down to learn about Africa.
Did you know that Africa had lots of, obviously, kings and queens, but they had roads, they had banking institutions, they had transportation things. So it's not as primitive as our history that we were learning here in North America. It's not as primitive as they thought it was. Like, oh, the Europeans came and saved the Africans and taught them culture.
Right.
And I remember learning that, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
You mean to tell me I come from nobility, bitch?
Yeah, I'm saying.
It's very fascinating.
Oh.
All right, we're done. It's Friday. It's time to go. We're at an hour.
Yes.
Holly, what's your social media?
Radio Holly on all the stuff, and then Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
Scott?
At Scott Tavlin, ScottTavlin on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.
You can find me, Miguel Fuller, MiguelFuller, on Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, and on the Facebooks. I am Radio Miguel. Make sure, please, to leave us a review on iTunes if you listen on there. Also, you can listen on the Hot 101.5 app, on the Hot 101.5 website. And we have a new Miguel and Holly Zoom background.
Yeah.
If you're having a Zoom virtual happy hour this weekend or next week while you're working and you're tired of having the beach behind you, the fake beach, you can put Miguel and Holly and Scott behind you.
That's right.
So go to hot1015tampabay.com and we will see you next week.
Catch up on previous episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored now on the Hot 101.5 app or on iTunes on your smartphone.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored, quarantine edition from Hot 101.5, made hot by Corona Beer.
Let's go. Sitting here in quarantine, watching lots of Tiger King. Is Carol Baskin clean? Did a husband really leave the scene? Like, did a husband really just get up and leave? Joe Exotic got a word of Carol and started going crazy. Then Jeff Lowe stepped up in the picture and he's so shady. Joe tried to shut down Carol. She said, stop that. Now Joe's sitting up in jail, taking a cat nap. Will Joe ever be let go? We better watch that. I just really wanna know. Are you Team Carol or Team Joe?